Okay, let's begin. We're up to Perek Yud Ches, Perek Yud Zayin. Perek Yud Zayin, Pasuk Chafav. Perek Yud Zayin, Pasuk Chafav. Gam Anoish La Tzadik Loi Toiv, Lahakois Nedivim Al Yosher. And this Pasuk has many translations. Let's first look at the Mitzudos. Gam Anoish La Tzadik Loi Toiv, the Mitzudos Pasuk Chafav. An individual, the subject of the pasuk is the loy toiv. Loy toiv is the definition of a person who is an evil person. Oh, shalom aleichem, Mr. Klein, welcome back. Good to see you.
Thank you.
Good to see you.
You need a chair?
No, I'm fine.
He needs a refuah.
Okay, mishahu loy toiv, a person who is considered a loy toiv, yimas kol kach betzedek, he detests righteousness to such a degree as asher yigam yeonesh latzadik al tzidko. He's willing to punish the righteous for his good deeds. And he continuously hits and punishes generous people, good people, for good deeds. In his eyes, good deed is considered evil. In other words, maaseh stom, go to stom, a person give, it's a crime to give charity, something which in the world is accepted, the Torah considers to be a very great virtue, to give tzedakah. In stom, if you give tzedakah, you do a good deed, you machnes orach, it's a crime. It's a crime punishable by death. So that's what the pasuk means here, according to this interpretation. A person who is a loy toiv, an individual, you have to start the pasuk with the words loy toiv, a person who is a loy toiv. He is anoish latzadik. He will punish. He will punish latzadik, the right person, the tzadik, for doing something good. He will, in the pasuk repeat itself, he will lahakois nedivim al yosher, he will hit, punish, harass nedivim, good people, for al yosher, for doing good deeds. That's how sick a person can get. Person can, his mind can become so corrupt, he can go to the degree where he will, his hashkafa is completely perverted, where he will punish people for doing good deeds. Rashi, let's read Rashi. Pasuk Chavav Gam Anosh Latzadik Loitov Lo Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu Limchos Es Yisrael Me'al Aretz Ki Loitov Be'Einav. Rashi has an entirely different interpretation of this pasuk. The pasuk here, the tzaddik, refers to Hashem. Hashem is the tzaddik, and Hashem, the pasuk says that it's not good for Hashem to punish the evil people in this world. And that's going to be kotze la kotze. Even when people are deserving of punishment, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's not a good idea that the world should be, the person should be punished entirely. You have to give a person a little leeway. You have to give a person an opportunity to do tshuva. You have to leave over something in this world. Lo omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'namchais shem yisro mi'al aretz. Hashem did not want to destroy, to uproot the name of the Jewish people from the land. Ki lo to be'enav l'anosh kulav. It's not good in Hashem's eyes to punish them all. There always has to be a remnant of the Jewish people to survive in order to carry on the nitzchis of Klal Yisrael. Lahakos nidivim ale yosher, lahakos atoivim shemohem. Rashi says, who will HaKadosh Baruch Hu withhold? HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even though generally we have a rule that when the Satan is given reshus to mekadosh to punish, it's not nafchin bein tzadik l'rasha, and tzadikim are unfortunately also taken away due to the sins of the generation of the Rishayim. Yet, and the reason why is because they, to some degree, are partially guilty. They should have made a machosh. They should have protested against the evil that is done in this world. But yet, at times, Kadosh Baruch Hu does withhold and does not punish all of the good people. He lets them survive in order to preserve the Jewish people. Lahakos nidim al yosher, lahakos hatoivim shebohem. Hashem does not punish the good ones among them. Shehoyu nidivim al yosher, the ones who are nidivim, or are generous ale yosher upon righteousness. Rashi here is just calling Hashanemar, Vesharti Bishol Shivas Alofim Akol Albrechem Shalo Koru Labal, different tkuvas, and this specific tkuva, Kadosh Baruch Hu, he wanted to destroy the Jewish people for the Avodah Zarah during the time of the Va'aseres ha'shvatim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu left over 7,000 people who did not bow down to the Baal, to the Avodah Zarah. So we do find instances of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he does leave over tzaddikim in order to preserve the next generation. And then Rashi goes on to say, Nidivim ala Yosha, what is this, an unusual expression? Nidivim means a generous person, the person that gives charity. Ala Yosha, upon righteousness. It's an expression. Rashi just quotes another pasuk. We find this idea, Dugmas Ha'omer B'mokhi Macher, the Nodiv Nidivos Yoatz. A Nodiv, a generous person, Nidivos Yoatz, he will counsel others to do acts of kindness, acts of generosity. Hu Al Nidivos Yakum, and this individual will survive. Due to his goodwill, his good nature, he will, for his Nidivos, for his expression of generosity, he will exist, he will persevere. Nimsa Nadiv al Nadivos. So Rashi just wants to point out that we find this concept, this idea of being a Nadiv al Nadivos. Okay, it's an expression. I'm not exactly sure really what Rashi means here, but we find another pasuk in Yeshaya where we have the same idea. Rashi is bothered by this unusual expression, Nidivim al Yosher. It means a person who is generous and attaches himself to Yosher. Okay, so far we have here two perushim in this pasuk, perush of the mitzudas, perush of Rashi. To review, the mitzudas says that the lo tov is the person that we are discussing, he is the subject. A rasha is so corrupt, he's willing to punish tzaddikim for their good deeds. Rashi says an entirely different interpretation, that tzaddik here is Hashem, and Hashem says, I don't want, it's not good in my eyes, to punish Klal Yisrael, to give them what they fully deserve, even though the Midas Hadin would demand that they be punished to a very great degree. It's not good in Hashem's eyes to fully punish the Jewish people what they deserve. There has to be a she'eris, a remnant, in order to preserve Klal Yisrael. The Gemara has an entirely different interpretation, a third interpretation. It's Gemara Masech the Shabbos, and the Gemara, I'll read you the Gemara there says, Omer Rabbi Yaakov Bara de Bas Yaakov, Rabbi Yaakov, the son of the daughter of Yaakov, Kol Shechaveroi Nenash Al Yodoi, anytime a person is punished on your behalf, this individual is not allowed into the mechitzasa shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Minolan, we learn it from here, this pasuk, gam anosh la tzadik loy toif. So what we're saying here is, ein loy toif el ra, it's for a tzadik, gam anosh la tzadik is ra. Is we're taking the word loy toif, and we're going to exchange these two words for the word ra, because the opposite of toif is ra. Loy toif is ra, and the pasuk says elsewhere, lo yogur tzadik ato Hashem, lo yogur bim gurcha ra. You are righteous, Hashem, and it does not dwell. They do not dwell in your dwelling place. A creature that is called Ra. Who is Ra? Who is this creature that is called Ra? Our pasuk. The Lo Tov is the equivalent of Ra, and if this person causes someone else to be punished, Anosh means to cause punishment. This then turns the tzaddik into a ra, and he is excluded from dwelling in the abode of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In other words, what this really means is that if you don't forgive a person, if a person has sinned against you, has caused you harm, and the person is, certainly when the person is sincere, and he does tshuva, and he repents, and he asks you for mechila, and you choose not to forgive him, so that person will be punished because of you. You have a person that has caused you harm, and you are refused to forgive him. He is accountable for his actions. He is punished. But being that you have caused him to be punished, you will also suffer the consequence, and you will not be allowed to enter into the mechitzas of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Every night in Kriya Shema Al Hamita, we say, V'lo ye'onesh shum Adam bisibasi. Besides the fact that we say that we're meichel b'lev shalem, we forgive people who have sinned against us, we also make a very clear, we elaborate, no person should be punished because of me. And the reason why we say that, I saw this once written up, the reason why we say that before we go to sleep at night is because when a person goes to sleep, his neshama, 1/60th of his neshama returns to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We don't know how these things work, but when a person sleeps, sleeping is a form of death. Chazal tell us that sleep is 1/60th of death. A part, a spark of the neshama returns to the mechitzas of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And when that neshama comes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the first question is, will we allow him in? Will we allow his neshama to enter into HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mokom in order to be refreshed in Shemayim when he goes to sleep at night? And if this neshama has caused someone else to suffer, we apply the pasuk lo yagur bim gurcha ra. A neshama that is called ra is not allowed to enter within the mechitzos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So every night when a spark of our neshama wants to enter within the mechitzos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to refresh itself for the next day, if we are called a ra, the neshama is a ra, it's not allowed to enter, and it will not succeed in what it needs to do when it goes to sleep. What makes that neshama ra? If it was the cause of someone else suffering in this world, that could happen in many ways. You can actually go out and cause a person harm, or you can just prevent the person from receiving forgiveness by not being meichel him. And that is why, before we go to sleep, it's critical to say this expression, lo ye'oneh shum adam bisibasi. Okay. Okay, let's go to the Gemara. There's one of the Mamre Chazal here down the page. The Gemara talks about Nadav Ahaviu. Nadav Ahaviu died on the first day of Nisan at the time of the Hakamas HaMishkan. And I'll read you the Gemara. The Gemara is a Medrash Vayikra Rabbah. Al mi nemar klapi mi nemar pasuk zeh. Who is this pasuk discussing? This pasuk gam anosh latzadik lo tov. According to the Medrash we're about to read, it's learning the pasuk similar to what Rashi here taught us, that the tzadik is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Medrash says, Elo Rabbi Brechi pasach lefaresh gam anosh latzadik lo tov, Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, af al pi shonashti es Aaron, I punished Aaron HaKohen. How did I punish him? By the lokachti shnei bonav mimenu. I brought about the death of his two children. Nadav Yaviu. That was a horrible punishment. Hashem says, I'm not happy with this. It was not pleasing to me to do this. Loi toiv. I was not happy. However, I have no choice. I have to go and chastise Aaron. Aaron, who is called the Nediv. He is the Nediv. He needs a little bit of Musar. We have no idea what this means. El lahaka is Nedivim ala Yosher, which means Yesh, the parish here is Yesh lepamim shetzarch lahaka is es Hanedivim kde liyasher darchehem shel habrios, in order to make to correct their ways. So the full interpretation according to the Medrash is Gam anosh latzadik lo tov. The tzadik is Hashem. Hashem caused punishment. To Aaron HaKohen. Hashem was not happy to punish him. Lo tov, it was very difficult in the eyes of Hashem to do so. But Hashem said that this is for the ultimate good. Lahakos nedivim. I had to hit the nedivim. And here referring specifically to Aaron and his family, in order al yosher, in order that they should be perfect people. They should feel the musar of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they shall be better people. They shall be anshei yosher. It's a very difficult
play on the words.
What?
Hakos nedivim, nedivim,
nadiv. Yeah.
Nadiv avihu.
Oh, nadav, that's the makar. Nadav avihu, nadav. Okay, very good. I'm totally blind. Totally blind to the obvious. Nedivim comes from Nadav. That's why the Medrash picked up and said this pasuk refers dafka to Nadav, to Nadav, Nadav Aviv. Okay, so now there's another parish. Okay, that's pretty much that. That's, we'll leave with that. Three mahalchim in this pasuk, mitzudos, the corruptness of the Rasha, Rashi, and the Medrash, and the Medrash. Okay, there was, we once mentioned this. We have this idea that was taught by Izevel, by Novos HaYisraeli. We know that Novos HaYisraeli was murdered by Achav. Novos HaYisraeli had a beautiful vineyard, and Achav desperately wanted this vineyard. And he told Izevel that he was depressed. He wants to, even though he's the king, that he has everything a man can possibly want, he's not satisfied. He wants this vineyard as well. And Izevel told him, simple, just hire false witnesses that will testify that Novos HaYisraeli, he cursed the Melech. He was Mevarich the Melech. And Kachava, they hired two witnesses that he cursed the king. He was deemed a Morid B'Malchus, and the law is a Morid B'Malchus is put to death, and all of the property of the Morid B'Malchus goes to the Melech. If a person Stam dies, he does an Avera, he's Chayav Misa, so his property goes to his Yershim. But when a person is convicted for the crime of being Morid B'Malchus, then his property goes to the Melech. So that's what they did, and all the property of Novos HaYisraeli went to Achav, and Achav now had, and he had, had the vineyard. Then the next parsha in Nevi'im is there was a battle. Aram was going to war against Klal Yisrael, and there was a debate among the Melech, Achav, and I'm not even sure if it was Achav, it was the next king. There was a debate among the, if the Klal Yisrael should go to war. And the two kings, the King Melech Yehuda and the Melech Yisrael, they got together and they went out to review the troops, and they were debating if they should go to war. And they brought in front of them all the various advisors, the Nevi'im, and everyone that had something to say came forth before the kings to advise them if they should go to war. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted that they should go to war in order that they should, that should be defeated, that they should be punished. Hashem wanted to punish Klal Yisrael at this time, and He wanted them to go to war. So Hashem said in Shemayim, the Pamal Yishol Maila, who here wants to be a spirit of Sheker that will go forth to the world to convince the king, the Melech Yehuda, the Melech Yisrael, that they should go to war in order to bring about their defeat? So there was one spirit, and said, I want to be that spirit. I want to be this koyach in the world, the spirit to convince the kings that they should go to war. So Hashem said, you want to be? Good. Say, go out. Go out and be the spirit to convince the kings to go to war. Chazal tell us, who was this spirit? It was Novos HaYisraeli. It was the neshama of Novos HaYisraeli, who was murdered by Achav, now wanted to take revenge, and wanted to be the spirit that would go out and convince Achav to go to war, in order that he should fall, that he should be killed in battle. So Hashem says, fine, you want to be, you're entitled, go, but say, you can't remain in my mechitzos because of this pasuk. Gam anosh latzadik lo tov. If you want to be the one that's going to cause someone to suffer, even though it's justifiable, the person deserves to suffer. But if you want to be the one that's going to bring about the suffering of another person, say, you have to leave my mechitzos. So he was like a suicide. He was like a suicide bomber. It's a very interesting idea, is that in Shemayim, we only think there's people that are suicidal in this world. There are people, there are spirits who are suicidal in the Olam HaEmes. There are neshamos, there are the mechitzos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to bring about churban, wants to bring about suffering, and Hashem needs the assistance of a creature in Shemayim to assist him, whatever that means. And the consequence for that neshama volunteering to be the instrument, the catalyst of bringing about someone's suffering is that neshama is going to have to leave the closeness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because it's very good, you're doing my mission, but still in all, you can't ignore the pasuk gam anosh latzadik lo tov. To cause a person to suffer, even if the tzaddik is the neshama, the spirit is a tzaddik, lo tov, that turns the tzaddik into a ra. And when that person is a ra, lo yogur, yogur b'magur chora, that neshama can no longer be in Hashem's abode. It has to be tzei mimich yitzasi. Okay, let's go now to pasuk of Zayin. Chosech amarav liyadei ados. a person that withholds, chosech always means to restrain, to hold back your words, yodea das. It's a very wise person. A person who knows to keep his mouth quiet is a wise person. And yikaruach, it's a krivich siv, yikaruach, a person of a heavy spirit, ish tevuna is even a greater man, is a man of understanding. We are assuming here that tevuna is a higher level than das. Das is the basic building blocks of knowledge. Tevuna comes from the word bina, neven davar mitoch davar. The average person who is wise is has das. He's one that withholds his words. And a person that's yikar ruach, it's not just a matter of withholding your words, it's heavy. Ruach here means your wind. Wind here means words, because every word that comes out of a person's mouth is accompanied by ruach. And if a person's ruach is yok or is heavy, that has a connotation, your words are measured. You think before you speak, or even more than that, you don't even think unless it's appropriate to think. So the second part of the pasuk is even a deeper degree of knowledge than the first part of the pasuk. The first part of the pasuk implies, has a connotation that the individual has a lot what to say. He has plenty what to say. It's just that he is chosech amarof. If he would be allowed to open up his mouth, boy, would he have what to say, it would flow. But he's chosech amarof. Why? Because he's a wise man. He knows that his words are not going to be received well. Better say less than more yodea das. But the next person in the pasuk, he's even wiser. He's so wise, he doesn't even think. He doesn't have to come to the level of holding back. He is so disciplined that the words have not even reached the tip of his tongue, because he realizes everything is with a cheshbon. He's an ish tevuna, and therefore it's not just holding back words. It's even greater. It's yikaruach. The words are heavy. It's difficult for him to say the words. It's precious. I mean, that's what it means. Being precious, what is something that's precious? It means a valuable. Every word that comes out of his mouth, he views with value. He doesn't waste words. So he doesn't have even the nesoyon to say something. The first part of the pasuk has a connotation that he has a nesoyon. He really wants to say. It's just that he has to hold himself back. The second part of the pasuk is he doesn't even have the nesoyon, the test of saying something. The words themselves that are coming out of his mouth are yikar. Why? Because he is an ish tevuna. Okay, let's see the Mitzvah Pasuk of Zayin. Chosech amarof, hamoneh devarim betelim, hu yodea das. The person that withholds empty words is a wise man. The next part of the Pasuk, yikar, mi sheruach piv. The wind of his mouth is hu yokar, v'choshuv. Mean it's precious and important. He realizes every word is has value. The yimat bohem hu ish tevuna, and the both parts of the pasuk on a very similar level, just for poetic repetition. The chofel hadavar b'miloy shaynais. Okay, we don't know there's a medrash. I mean, I know there's a medrash that says that that a person has a certain number of words in this world. Every person, before he comes out to the world, they tell you this is a child. Is it true? Is it not true? I don't think it's true. I think they're just saying this to scare us. That every person has a certain number of words. What?
My father used to say it to me 1,000
times. Is there a real medrash? I never saw this. Heard this before.
He must have heard it from his father, because he said it to me 1,000 times.
You have a given number of words, and you're using this, you know, there's a counter. And the counter is ticking.
Is texting included?
It's texting included. Ooh. Okay, a certain number.
Unlimited.
Okay, so it's yokar, it's precious, everywhere that comes out of your mouth. Let's give you the Rashi. Rashi, chosech amarof, mishu hu yodea das, Rashi. Einai marbed, a person that is a knowledgeable person who does not speak a lot. Yikar ruach. Moinea devarim ish tevuna, same idea. Now we don't know the famous, the multiple mamar chazal that talk about the maila of silence. of silence, of shtika. Okay, we're gonna come. I'll wait for the next pasuk. The next pasuk talks about. I'm gonna come to the Malbim. I'm gonna come in one moment. It's a beautiful Malbim. I want to wait for the next until it's a beautiful Malbim. I want to wait for the next pasuk because we have one more pasuk. The Malbim ties in the next pasuk as well. Okay, but before we go further, just one thing I left out. I noticed I left that over here in my other in the sefer Divrei Chachamim. He quotes a famous Gemara in Brachas Daf Zayin. Okay, and I'll just read the Gemara because he has a very, very long footnote where he elaborates upon this at great length. I'll tell you the gist of what he says. Tzeduke, there was a Mayis Shahaya. There was a Tzeduke. Everyone who heard this Gemara at one point in time. Tahave Bishavivusei de Rebbe Yeshua ben Levi. He was in the neighborhood of Rebbe Yeshua ben Levi. Havi Kometzah Le Tuva Bekroi. This Tzeduke, caused Rebbe Meir great, Rebbe Yeshua ben Levi great pain, great anguish. He challenged him in learning. It's not clear exactly what he was doing, but he was causing him very great distress. Yom Echad, one day, he had a great idea. Shakal Tarnagol, the Gemara says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gets angry every single day for a moment. And if a person would curse, would issue a klola during that precise moment, the klola would work. And the Gemara says, when does the Hashem get angry? If you look at a chicken, a rooster, when its crop, when the top of its head turns red, there's a certain moment, a certain color, that can be seen on its head at a certain point in time, maybe when the sun glows, when the rays of the sun shine on its head at a certain moment in time. At that moment is the moment Kol Shachar gets angry. The person issues a klola. The klola is effective. He said, Rabbi Shulman Levi said, I'm going to wait. I'm going to hold a chicken. I'm going to wait. I'm going to concentrate for that moment. And I'm going to curse this person in order that he should die and he'll leave me alone. So something fascinating happened. What happened was he fell asleep. He put this chicken between the legs of his bed, and he sat on his bed looking at this little creature. The ayin bay savar kimota hu shaita alati. I'm going to curse him. Kimota hahi shata. When that moment arrived, noyem Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi fell asleep. He dozed off. Omar, he woke up, and what did he say? Now what would I say? Okay, if I was trying this at home and I fell asleep, I would say, I'm a fool. I should have had a better cup of another cup of coffee. Right? I should have had a cup of coffee, would have kept me up. I should have done something to, I should have gone to sleepless and stay awake. There's no excuse falling asleep on the job. So yet he says this itself is an amazing thing. He's Shmamina Lav Orech Aro Lemevat Hachi. It was Hashkocha Pratis that I should fall asleep at this moment in time. It says in the Pasuk, Verachamav al kol ma'asav, Hashem has mercy upon all of His creatures, even upon the tzedokim. And it's not right I should curse a tzedoki. Uchsiv gam anosh, then he quoted this Pasuk as well, we quoted Mishlei, gam anosh la tzadik lo tov. It's not my place to curse another person. It's not my place that I should curse, even though he's a tzedoki, he is a rasha, he is causing Klal Yisrael great harm. It's not my place that I should bring about his downfall. Okay, I will pass again Mishlei. Okay, before we go any further, but the thing I just find, and I'm preparing this, I just found this to be fascinating. You can go to the store, Judaica store, you can go to Barnes and Nobles, and you can buy a library full of books talking about Hashkocha Pratis. Challenge you to find stories where they tell you Hashkocha Pratis fell asleep. I happened just at that moment in the shir. My eyes went down. I fell asleep. We all have moments during the day when we're very tired and we just doze off for a few moments. To say that that's all part of Hashkocha, it's Hashkocha Pratis, that I was in this place at this time, I met this person on the bus. We always view Hashkocha as when you're awake. Very rarely do we focus on Hashkocha Pratis in a moment. I just happened to doze off. Maybe you'll tell me it's Hashkocha, my alarm clock didn't work. So I slept late until 8 o'clock and still 6 o'clock. Because had I gone to work that day, something terrible would have happened. Had I woken up when the Hashkocha Pratis, the alarm clock broke. But to say Hashkocha Pratis when you're sitting in a room and you're preparing, you're having Kavana, and you happen to doze off, That's an amazing thing. HaKadosh Baruch Hu controls our minds. It just goes to show how far HaKadosh Baruch Hu controls our minds. He even shuts us down. He shuts you down for a few moments, just no importa. Just that moment in time. He blinked. He blinked for a few moments, and he declared, it's Hashkocha Pratis. Hashem is teaching you a lesson in the Torah, Gam Anosh Lat Tzadik Lota. Fascinating thing. Okay, now the Gemara is saying this is problematic because, now that he came in the footnote, he has a very long footnote, and he basically goes to show that this Mamar Chazal is contradicted by other Mamar Chazal, where we do find Tzadikim being mispalel for people to die. I don't know what we have to go search any further than when we say every single day in Shemona Esrei, V'lama Al Shinim. So we mispalel the bracha of v'lam al shinim, and the v'lam al shinim, the original v'lam al shinim, it still is not for the goyim. The v'lam al shinim was for the Jews, suapi karsim, that are destroying us from within. So how could it be that three times a day we mispalel that with the Jews, who are the slanderers, who are trying to destroy us from within, they should be obliterated? There are some very powerful expressions in this bracha, what we just learned over here in this pasuk, Gam Anosh Latzadik Lotov, and the Gemara further illustrates this with this Maisa, with Yeshua ben Levi, when he wanted to destroy the Tzadoki, who was part of the people who are the subject of Olam Al Shinim, and he fell asleep, and he took it as a simin that it's not a good thing to do. And he brings other examples, the other stories in the Gemara.
The one that brought down by this, what you read, the Gemara is about Bilam, that he wanted to say Kalem.
Kalem, that's the moment.
What was the second? What could he say in that second?
Kalem, you can say that word. The word Kalem is that one moment.
That's part of that Gemara.
So how do we reconcile this idea of the tefillah that was established by Shmuel HaKatan, that we should pray for their destruction?
That's
exactly. But you're being toveya. It's a curse. It's a curse. So you want to be machalik between a tefillah and a klala. Okay, that's an idea. I'm not rejecting that idea, but maybe you can say just the opposite. Tefillah, in some respect, is even stronger. You make a Kadosh Baruch Hu your partner. A klala, you're acting to some degree on your own. And Hashem is also involved, obviously, but okay, in a chanami, okay, it's an idea. The difference between a tefillah and a klala. Okay, but the answer that over here in this sefer, the Divrei Chacham he gives is that there are different types of evil people. There are people that are evil, their core is evil. Someone whose core is evil, there is no solution. The only solution is complete obliteration. We don't apply the pasuk Gam Anosh Latzadik Lo Tov. It is only applied to a person whose core is good. It's just that due to circumstances, due to his environment, due to his living conditions, he behaves in a very evil way. If he'll take away the conditions, if he'll be misfollowed, that the person should be the tshuva, or his conditions that cause him to be evil will be lifted, then the person will be transformed, will be reformed into a healthy member of a productive member of society. But then there are people that there's just no hope. There is no hope. And this balance of differentiating between people who are evil at their core, even people among us, who are Acheinu B'nei Yisrael, that's what V'lam Al Shinim is all about. And people who are really, truly, deep, deep, deep down, the Pintel Yid, they're good people. It's just that they're due to circumstance, due to their environment, they are evil. Those people, then we apply the pasuk Gam Anosh Latzadik Lo Tov. So basically he wants to point out, he has a very long footnote, he goes through the entire Shas, and he shows this contradiction between sometimes we do misfollow for the defeat of the Rishonim, and sometimes we're not. You're not allowed to. And the answer is the balance is a very difficult balance when the core is evil versus a situation when the core is not 100% evil. It's only due to circumstance.
Focus in Gemara also. I'm not sure if it's in Brachos, but I think on the Tame Yikra,
yeah,
how that actually works. There's, I think, you know, Ayin Rava,
he
wasn't feeling well and he didn't want to tell people. He says for Tame Yikra, people, if you tell them you're not feeling well, they'll make you Mishabera. So he said, on the other hand, he was afraid too many people didn't like him, and if he would say, it's
a Mispala, good for you. That's how you mean Makalkal. That's right, you mean Makalkal. Some people hold that. Someone's not well, you
he
should.
He didn't want to publicize that he wasn't right.
Okay, so this is Gam Anoish La Tzadik. Now we go to the next pasuk. So we did the Chosech of Avlei Adoras. We did that Yikar Ruach Ish Tevuna. Okay, so I once heard, the Litvaks, what's the chilek between the Misnagdim and the Hasidim? What's the stereotype? It's not true. It's certainly not true. It's certainly not true in this generation, because today we live in the global melting pot. But the stereotype is the Misnagdim, the Litvish Olam, they're very cold. They're cold. But they're intellectuals. They are the ones who traditionally were the Lamdonim, the Talmidei Chachamim. Chassidus was Varmkeit, to be warm and to sing and to dance. But they were not. It was a fact. The early Hasidim, the original Hasidim, going back to the time of Baal Shem Tov, they were not the Rebbes that were Goyne Olam. But the Hasidim, it was a movement for the masses, for Amcha. And they were not the intellectuals. So here, that all is merumas in this pasuk. The way we read is Yikar Ruach, but the Ksiv is the Kar Ruach. Ish Tevuna, the intellectuals, they're cold people. They're cold.
Kalta Litvaks.
Like someone the Shabbos said to me, the Shabbos was like 7 degrees outside. It's Litvish outside. We need the Hasidim to intercede to Mevakesh, to warm us up. What?
What? In South Africa.
Yeah.
So he says it's a warm country, but
Kaltenmenschen. Kaltenmenschen. Okay.
Yeah, South Africa is all Litvak.
He's a chavis.
He's the art side of the Av Bezn of Vilna at the time of the drug.
The Av Bezn of Vilna. What was his name?
Shmuel.
The Av Bezn. Okay. May his neshama have an aliyah. But Kalta Litvak. What?
Litvak is don't say the neshamas will have an aliyah.
They don't say in the Shams of Hamaliyah, this is not literally. So today we live in the big, we live today in the melting pot. The American, the globe melting pot, where everyone takes from the other. Some of the Hasidim today are a phenomenal Talmud, incredible Talmidei Chachamim. Look at what they put out, Mesifta. The Oizahada, Oizahadar.
Of course, they're going to
live in Shi
Yeshivas.
No. But it's all on my Hasidim. Ruba de Ruba, what I've been told.
It's in the square, right?
The people who work all over the world, Lifer, it's all a lot of, by and large, it's just outstanding. What can you say? And the Lit Sholem, today you try to find a yeshiva where they don't sing on Shabbos and Yom Tif and Yom Noroyim. All the Litvish yeshivas have taken in davening the derech of the Hasidim to sing and to dance and to bring some warmth into the Avodas Hashem. But if you want to go back to the Shirashim, this is a really great makar. Kar Ruach Ish Tevuna. The intellectuals are cold people. Okay, they say the Bali, the Musa movement, as they say, the Musa movement was only for Yechidim. The reason why Hasidus is so widespread is Hasidus is for the masses. Right. It is a movement for the masses, for the common man. The Bali Musar is only for Yechidim. It's members only. It was never meant to be and that's why today you see Hasidus to some degree has dominated. The Litvish Olam, they say, is bankrupt. The Hasidim, they really have.
It's also because during the war, most of the real Litvakis were killed out.
All right, I don't know.
Ponovitcherov Zatzal used to say they used to come into a town,
yeah,
and just shoot them all out.
Okay, but they say this idea I've heard
money
is Hasidus is for the masses. The Litvish Derech,
it's very selective.
It's selective. It's for Yechidim. Not everyone has the head. Not everyone has the discipline, and therefore there are a lot of collateral damage. You don't have a safety net to catch you. If you're part of a Litvish world, and you don't have a safety net to catch you, you're in a lot of trouble. Because the Litvish Derech is a Derech of Musar and a Derech of intellectual and approach, and again, you need. But the Hasidus, that was not the focus. That's not the focus. The focus is just it's for the masses, and that's why today we have mixed together. It's a good blend. Everyone has a makom, Baruch Hashem, today in today's day and age.
Before the war wasn't that way.
Okay.
There was an intermarriage.
There was not intermarriage. Well, there was. She can't say there wasn't totally. There was some, a little bit.
There was a lot of intermarriage after that.
After that, everything came melting pot.
Even Lakewood, before the war.
Lakewood today has both. Lakewood itself is a chassidus. It's also a chassidus.
After the war,
every Litvisha yeshiva, to some degree, is a chassidus. You have a Rosh Yeshiva. Yeah.
Until the late 60s in Lakewood, you could not wear a strimal in the yeshiva.
Until the late 60s.
Early 70s.
You couldn't even have a beard. You couldn't have a beard. I think Rav Aaron didn't let people have beards.
And towels. What are you talking about? Towels in the 70s. You wore a beard.
They threw you out.
It's better to say, go take a shave.
Yeah.
You wear a Swedish bathroom.
Okay, so this is something very interesting. Now let's go to the next pasuk. The pasuk says, "Gam avil macharish." Okay, this last pasuk, avil macharish. If a fool is quiet, now there are multiple interpretations of this pasuk. If you just read the words without any looking in the mafarshim, you'll say what the common thought is: "Gam avil macharish chachomi chashev." If a fool keeps his mouth shut, then he will be considered the wise. Better keep your mouth shut and let people think you're a fool than open it and remove all doubt. So being the ignorant will pass for the wise just by being quiet. Just fake it out. Gam evil macharish, if the fool will keep his mouth shut, chochom yechoshev. And the pasuk repeats itself. Otem sifasav, one who seals his lips, Navon, will be considered a Navon, a very wise man. Two different dargas. Macharish just means quiet, but otem sifasav means not even a sound. Don't even move your lips. Sometimes you can do damage just by smirking. If you don't smirk, then you'll be a Navon, because smirking itself gives everything away. Especially, someone told me today with the technology. The technology can detect, eventually can detect even microscopic movements of the lips, of some even of the eyes, even a certain, even though maybe a machine can tell, but subconsciously when you look at a person and you see their mannerisms, you see their facial expression, even though consciously you don't really, you know, but subconsciously you're seeing certain motions, that also creates an impression. So here the pasuk says, "Oitem sifasav," control those subconscious motion movements of your face, and then Navon, when you're in the audience, you will be considered by your superiors to be a Navon. Now what I just told you, I don't think anyone says this translation of the pasuk, at least on the page, is not said by anyone. Mitsuda says a whole different interpretation, and he talks about the greatest magician. The greatest magician in this world is to teach a person how to be silent. If you can go to a fool and you can say to him, "Let me teach you a trick. I'll teach you a trick. Don't talk." If you can pull that off, you will be eligible to receive the Nobel Prize. The Nobel Peace Prize. That's what it says in the Masudas. Look at what it says over here. Gam evil macharish, mi sheyuchal lahashtik gam es ho'evil. A person who is able to silence the evil, the foolish person, shelo yosef ledaber ivalto, that he will no longer continue to speak his foolish talk. Hamacharish hazeh, this individual who is successful in teaching another person to be silent, lechochom yechoshev. The chocham is the teacher. The fool is a fool. The fool will be a fool no matter what, but to get the fool to be quiet, if you can convince people in the shul of Beis HaKnesses not to talk during Chazaras HaShatz, you have some magic. That's a magical, you can control a class. Think about it. You have a teacher who can control a class, even if you can't teach them anything. Okay, the kids look out of the year, they learn nothing. But at least there was discipline in the class when the teacher was there, so during the time he was there, the kids were quiet. What a teacher. L'chacham yichashev, this is a trick, it's a gift. This is an incredible gift. L'chacham yichashev.
Let's say over from one of the Ger Rebbe's, it says, "Ki ba'apam hargu ish."
Just by the dray with the
nose,
you kill someone. Just emotion can cause damage. L'chacham yechoshev. Ki davar gadol, also he has done something very, very great. Okay. Oitem hasoisem sifseho evil, a person that is oitem, that he seals the lips of the fool. Rotzulaimah machdil oisem memlamar. Same idea, this repetition. A person he convinces a foolish person to be silent. Yikari novoin v'chofel hadavar b'miloi shoynes. Okay, and there is no Rashi on this pasuk. Now, Rabbi Maevsky, he mentioned a very beautiful Malba. Now, I'm going to say the Malba in the library a little bit more than just the Malba. Sometimes it says the Malba, the idea, the same idea. The Malba says that these psukim, Pasukhov Zayin and Pasukhov Ches, are a continuation of Pasukhov Vav. Pasukhov Vav is describing a situation where a tzaddik is being punished. Anoish will learn the pasuk like Rashi. Rashi says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu at times were more like the Medrash. The Medrash says that at times HaKadosh Baruch Hu punishes tzaddikim. Tzaddik v'ra lo, sefer iyif. Hashem at times he punishes tzaddikim. The tzaddik anoish la tzaddik, at times Hashem punishes the tzaddik lo tov. It's not pleasant in Hashem's eyes to do this. But Hashem has no choice. La'akoyz nedivim al yosher, Hashem has to hit good people in order that they stay good, that they remain in a state of yosher, in Hashem's definition of yosher, which is beyond our understanding. Now come along the next two psukim and tell us how man reacts to HaKadosh Baruch Hu punishing the tzaddikim. Hashem knows what he's doing. We have Emuna pshuta in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem is doing it for a good reason. But how does the common man react to seeing a good man suffer? Seeing a good man suffer. So, Choseich Amorav Yodea Das. A person that has intellect, has knowledge, he keeps his mouth shut. He has questions. I have complaints. But Ribbono Shel Olam, is it really fair for this good man to suffer? What did he do wrong? He's a good man. Why should he suffer? But I realize there's a creator. Hashem operates with rules that we are not aware of. There are things that we are not aware of. And therefore, I have enough intelligence to keep my mouth shut. Choseich Amarov Yodea Das. And then there are people that are even wiser, who are Yikar Ruach, who have a Holy Spirit, a precious Ruach. Before we translate Yikar Ruach to mean that the words are measured, but here with this Mahalach you can say it even deeper, they have a greater degree of spirituality. They're tzaddikim. Their neshama, their Ruach is precious. It's extremely holy. They don't even have questions. Such people, when they observe this concept, this mitzias in the world of tzaddik v'ralo, They are an ish tevuna. They are an ish tevuna, and by them there's nothing. There are no questions. It's not even a matter of I have a taina, but I'm going to keep my mouth shut. I don't even have a question. That's why there's no mention of speech. The ikar ruach ish tevuna. They are people of understanding. Meaning the implication is they don't even have what to say. Because their emun in HaKadosh Baruch Hu is so great, we're not going to even come and react to this terrible thing that's happening in the world. And then the pasuk goes, describes a third category of people, the foolish people. The foolish people who really are really bitter about this situation. Gam evil macharish chocham yichoshev, if only he will be oibid bin nisayon, and will keep his mouth shut, he will be considered a wise man. Oitem sifosov novon, we're discussing here the common man, the man that does not have intellect, does not have das. He's below that madrega. If he himself can be oibid in the nisayon of tzaddik v'ralo, and not complain, and not have any complaints, Kodesh Baruch Hu, he will be considered to be a chocham and a navon. So pretty much, according to the Malbim, we have three. We have Hashem is causing a tzaddik to suffer, tzaddik v'ralo, and the next two psukim are addressing the reaction of the three different types of men in this world. There is the man of das, the man who is a tzaddik, and the man who is the lowest level, below this. Each of them are required to be silent and accept the gezerah on their madrega. If you don't understand, just be quiet. The evil, just close your mouth. Macharish, if you'll keep your mouth quiet, which is a lower level than a Choseich Amarav. Chocham Yechashev, Oitem Sifosav Navon, the regular person, the Das, he is Choseich Amarav, and the Tzaddik does not even have any question whatsoever. Three different reactions to these people. Okay, now let me just tell you over here some Midrashim. There's some interesting Midrashim here. Okay, Gam Evil. Okay, everyone knows this. Chazal, the Pasha Chazal. Tani Bar Kapara. Yofe, Shesika, Lachachamim, Kal Vachomer, La Tipshim. Shesika is good for the wise, and certainly it's even better for the foolish people. V'chein Shlomo, Gam Evil, Macharish, Chocham Yichashev, Ein Soch Lemar, Chocham Macharish, Zakal Vachomer. So certainly goes without saying that if the Chocham, if the Evil is quiet, Alachas Kam Vakamo, is it good for a wise man to be silent? Okay, one last point I want to make in this pasuk is, there's a very famous chazal. This chazal once heard a darsh and speak about this. The pasuk in Tehillim, it's not really fully related to this pasuk, is pasuk in Tehillim, is Perek Nun Ches pasuk Beis, Ha'umnam Elem Tzedek Tedaberim, which means, is it Ha'umnam? Can it really be true that an Elem, a person that has no mouth, tzedek tedaberun, can speak righteousness? If you don't have what to say, an elam is an individual that is speechless. Can it possibly be that he has something positive to say? That's the pasuk. But Chazal Darsh in this pasuk teaching us that elam is silence, a mute, a person that does not have the koyach adibar. And when we connect to the word ha'umnam is a rhetorical question. Can it really be that a person that's a mute can say something of significance, of righteousness, but he can't speak in the Chazal's terminology? A person that can't speak was usually a person that had no intelligence, because if you can't speak, a deaf, normally an elam goes together with being deaf, a deaf mute, so you never had the opportunity to get an education. Baruch Hashem, today there's a lot of technology, people that can't speak in here can still be very highly intelligent. But in time of Chazal there was no technology like this, and people that were deaf mutes were typically deficient in the intellectual world. So can it be that a person who's an elam, a deaf mute, can it possibly be that he'll say something of intelligence, something that is tzedek, that is correct, that is righteous? Cannot possibly be. That is the pshuta shel mikra. But Chazal take the word ha'umnam and they associate it with the word of an umnes, of a profession. And elam means speechless. And the two words together, the juxtaposition of the two words, Chazal Darshan, and tell us that the koyach of being silent is an umnes, is a trait. And just as we know, when it comes to an umnes, you don't wake up in the morning and get a job and become a craftsman, a carpenter, a plumber, a doctor, a lawyer. To acquire an umnes requires years of training. Umnes requires skill, requires serving as an apprentice, requires, in Chazal's terminology, takes many, many years to become an uman, a craftsman in any given field. Like today, say you want to become a doctor, well, you have to go study in high school, you have to take all the right courses, you have to go to college, you have to major in the science, and you have to prepare for all the entrance exams, then you have to go 4 years medical school, then you have to go 4 years residency, and then you have a fellowship, and then you have to work under someone until finally maybe you'll make a few dollars. And then make sure you don't get into trouble, malpractice. So it's an umnes. An umnes requires decades sometimes of hachana to achieve your profession. The same thing is true with regard to the koyach of keeping your mouth shut. It doesn't come easy. Someone insults you, it's only natural to speak up, to respond, to reply. The koyach, to keep your mouth shut in a difficult situation, is equivalent to a person earning a postdoctorate. It's an umnes. It's an umnes that requires years and years of amelus and toil and effort to achieve this desired result. Ma'od ma'od havei shval ruach. More and more. Ma'od mod is always, and you have to work on it. Higher and higher. It's not something that you can give in. It comes easy. All right, with that, we're going to go on to the next parak. Parak Yud Ches. Let's begin. L'tava yivakesh nifrad b'chol tushiyah yiskala. Okay, now what does this pasuk mean? Let's right away see the mitzvah. This l'tava yivakesh nifrad. We're discussing a person, rachmana litzlan, who goes off the derech. In today's terminology, rachmana litzlan, talmud chacham, hanifrad, halifroish min hatorah. Talmud chacham that separates himself from the Torah. Ki, why? Why would a talmud chacham distance himself from ki matorah? Taiva, because he wants to enjoy all of the forbidden things of this world. Kivakesh lolechetz achar tavas halev hine. Such a person will have a horrible reputation in the Torah world. Hine b'chol mokom shoyiskim b'torah. Every place where they learn Torah, tiskala cherposai. His shame will be revealed. Al kimeos hoya imoyem upeirash men, because since he was once part of the chavura, and he was poirish, so his friends who remain in learning, remain in the Torah world, will always recall him lignai. That's the point. So one of the points of the pasuk is latava yivakesh nifrat. So we have to change the order of the word. The pasuk, the nifrat, the person who has now separated himself from his chavura, because yivakesh tava. Read the words backwards. Because he seeks taiva. He seeks pleasure, the forbidden pleasure of this world. Of this world. Bechol tushia. Tushia is a code word for Torah. Torah is called yesh. Yesh. Yesh lahanchil la'ohava yesh toshi. We always have this in other places. It refers to Torah in b'chol toshi. In every gathering of places where they study Torah, yiskala, it will be exposed. His shame will be revealed and exposed. What kind of person he is? He has abandoned the faith. Now Rashi says, "Lestavi v'akashtifa." Same idea. Mi shehu nifrad mi'akadosh baruch hu. He distanced from the baruch hu. Shloi lishma mitzvaysav. Why? Letavas libot, because of his desire. The yitzrei hara who roidef, he is pursuing to fulfill the desire of his yitzrei hara. The soif, the end will be b'chol toshi yiskala bein chachamim tegal chapos. Among the toshia means among the talmidei chachamim who are occupied with yesh, with Torah, he will be, his shame will be revealed. V'abaseinu darshu beloit. So here we go to the Medrash. We're referring specifically to an amazing Medrash. Opens up a whole new world into learning Chumash. What does it say about, what are we referring to? Lot, shenifrad me'Avraham al tavas libo. He separated from Avraham. Bayar lo, and it's kikar hayar, kikula mashka. And he separated from Mammon. And what did that lead to? He could have been living with Avraham Avinu. Who would not want to live in the chitzos of Avraham Avinu? And here he goes, he separates from Avraham Avinu, and he goes out to enjoy the forbidden pleasures of the anshei sedoim, rohim v'chatoim l'hashem me'oid. All for money. The tavas libo caused him to separate from Avraham Avinu. Shenemar v'yivcha le'loid b'chos kikor kayayin, kikokol ha'mikra hazeh, al shem niyuf ne'mar. The entire pasuk was the kikayayin, the chazal darsh, and it's because he wanted the znus, arayos. It wasn't just for money. The money was just a cover-up for his desire to engage in gilui arayos. The soifa, the end was, niskale kolonim botik in the assist by the midrashos, lo yove amoni moavi. Now the medrash he's quoting from makes it more clear, and this shocking is, that we read it every single year. A year does not go by without the entire Klal Yisrael hearing about the shame of Lot, being that we learn the Torah once a year. The cycle is once a year. And once a year we go through the parasha of Lot and his two daughters, what he has done, and what became of him. Lo yovei amoni movi bekal Hashem. This is disgraceful. It's one thing if this terrible avet would have been hidden in a medrash, buried in the back of some obscure medrash. So maybe you go to a Sheir Mishle, you'll open up a sefer, you'll hear what it says in the medrash. So nu niskale kolonai. Few people in some part of the world will know about this medrash. But here it's in the Torah. And it's in every Beis HaKnesses one time a year. This is the punishment for Niskala. He is the person upon whom this pasuk is said. Now what's interesting is this really touches upon, since the Gemara makes an issue of once a year, let me read you this it's a Bereishis Rabbah. Bereishis Rabbah, let me read you Rabbi Tanchuma Bar Rabbi Chia Mishmei Rabbi Hoshaya Turgumah. Ein kol shana Vishana Shein Korinba Parshosa Shaloit. Every single year we learn the Parsha of Lod, my time, the whole Tushia Yiskala. The word Tushia means the Torah. Ever, and according to the Medrash, the parish of the Medrash means there, b'chol pam shechoizrin v'koirin es ha-Torah. Every year. Rashi doesn't say that every year. We read Yiskala, Yifutz v'Yiskala chutzah boshta, it's revealed in public. Boshta shaloit, Amar Rabbi Acha Yiskala. Okay, then it goes on to say another idea which we'll come to a few in one moment. But the point I want to make is, this is a very interesting makar for the different cycle of Bavel of laying the Torah once a year and not three times a year.
Once every 3 years.
3 years, once 3 years. Because it was the minig in Yerushalayim to laying the go through the machs of the Torah once in 3 years. If you go through once in 3 years, so Lot gets off easy. Maybe in 3 years you'll forget about it. Can you imagine if it's like a daf yomi? In 7 years, do you remember what you learned 7 years ago? The cologne is less. But it's a Rabbi Tanchum, it's a medrash, b'chol shana v'shana. A lot of the midrashim were from Eretz Yisrael, I'm not mistaken. And yet, even though it's the medrash of Eretz Yisrael, it's telling us this idea of explicitly, ein kol shana v'shana. How do we reconcile that with the minhag of Eretz Yisrael to lay in the Torah once in 3 years? I don't have an answer. Just an interesting point. Now, we even have today, there are svarim which have the record of where they would break the breakpoints, of how they laid every three years, the cycle, the three-year cycle.
Jews still have that
minhag.
They don't lay in the whole parsha.
It's every 30.
They get through it. They lay like a little at the beginning and a little bit at the end. They don't lay it, they read it.
And then they skip over the parsha of Lot.
Skip over the myth. They lay until Shlishi, maybe, and Shishi to the end.
Okay, there's one other point which is repeated in two midrashim, the same idea, and it's not commonly known. When we read the parsha of Lot, when you think about, there were two partners in the Avera. There was Lot and his two daughters. What? Megalo Bigoli in Echanami. So this way, but over here is, the point is it's once a year, and it's for the entire Klal Yisrael. Everyone in Klal Yisrael goes to Kriyas HaTorah. Now another very interesting point, when you read the Torah, I always assume, who was the guilty party in the mice of Lot and his two daughters? It was the two daughters. Lot was an innocent victim. The two daughters, the whole thing started. The whole thing started with the daughters. Ain, there's no person ba'aretz that's lovely, v'derech kol aretz, l'chon nashkenu v'inuyayin. Okay, so Lot the second man was also guilty. He was also guilty. But who was the one that was really, who was the one that gave him to drink? He didn't go to drink himself.
That shows you that a drunk is responsible even though he's unable to judge himself.
Who is the primary culprit? If you were to ask the average person, including myself, who is the average? Certainly, I'm a lower average person. Who is the primary culprit?
Or the
pusher,
who's the
drunkard?
Right.
The drunk, but here, in this situation, the Torah emphasizes the actions of the daughters of Lot. You get the impression, I don't believe, make a mistake, you get the impression that the primary culprit of this Maaseh were the two daughters of Lot, and Lot was secondary, he's guilty. Okay, no question about it, he's guilty. But he's not the Iker. So here, the two Midrashim make the point and say, no, he was the one, the primary culprit. He set the climate, the moral climate for his daughters to do this. He set them up. He set them up. It's not obvious in the pasuk. The only reason why they had such an idea to do such a thing was because he hinted to them. Maybe that's the point. Kobi. He went and he trained them. He educated them that such a thing is possible. So he did this on purpose because he wanted it to come about, something like this. Who said? How can I say such a thing? The Medrash says explicitly. And the Medrash says, what's the what's the source? This pasuk, because it says here, Yivakesh Nifrod. The one that we're addressing in this pasuk is Lot. And it was Lot, L'tava yivakesh divorce. He did this. He was the one that brought about the whole thing. The whole thing was the evil genius. He brought about the whole plan that this should come about. And that's why B'chol Toshir L'Yizkalo, it's revealed, let me read the words of the Medrash. Dover Acher, Rabbi Yudin, Dimin Golui, from the name of a place, Rabbi Yeshua Bar Nachman, Tarvai Amri, Mishum Rabbi Eliyahu, who was the one that was the primarily culprit of this event? The one that was mevakesh havei loit nisava libnoisav. This we learned that it was loit that was nisava libnoisav and. From this possibility that it was Lot. And then there's another Medrash, the one that says Yiskal'u. The pasuk here should have been more correctly said B'chol Tushia Yiskal'u. They become exposed. Why does it say Yiskala B'loshon Yochid? He became exposed. So here's the other answer. It's because if the two daughters of... What? Okay, the whole pasuk. Amar Rabbi Yachs, the whole pasuk should have been written. Yiskalu ain't ksiv kan, ella yiskala. So the answer is, v'rak alot hadavar amar v'lo abonaisav, v'harai l'kach, is because lo yavai amoini umayavi. Amoini v'lo amoinis. Mayavi v'lo mayavis. If Lot's daughters were the primary culprits, HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have forbidden the women of coming into the Klal Yisrael. So since Hashem did not prohibit the women are allowed to come. Amoini v'le amoinis, mayavi v'le mayav. These women are allowed to come. Only men can come. That is a revelation that HaKadosh Baruch Hu attributes the sin to the man, to Lot, and not the daughters. So it's not just the deacon, the pasuk, yivakesh. He's the one that wanted to do the Avera. Look at the punishment. The punishment only went to the men, did not go down to the women. They were not fully responsible for what had happened. Okay, so this is an interesting idea.
It's just the point over here. God doesn't say low, but it's the same thing about him getting drunk. In other words, when you get old, you lose a lot of your type. But Russia, in other words, like that, he's going to go to Niagara so he could stimulate himself anyhow.
He looks for stimulation to make more trouble. Okay, so I want to wish Mr. Ernie?
Arnie.
Goritz. We want to wish you a tseischem l'shalom. Have a wonderful trip. He's going away to Eretz Yisrael for a couple of weeks, for 6 weeks. You should have a wonderful, successful trip, and you should have a safe trip, and we look forward to joining you there in Eretz Yisrael very soon. All the best to you. Okay, we're going to stop.